It's big interview time on today's show, and I am joined right now by Alan McKnight, the Chief Investment Officer at Regions Asset Management. If you want to learn more, regions.com is the website. Alan McKnight, thanks for joining me again on Money Life.
Chuck, great to be here today. Thanks for having me.
We are living through these market times that have people talking about a couple of different factors. Some are related very much to the underlying investments. We're seeing talk of rotation and where things are going and how the if you go that old Wayne Gretzky thing, you know, I try to get to where the puck is going, not to where it's been. Well, you know, you hear a lot of talk that the puck is moving and we're going to different places now and what have you. So we got a lot of talk about rotation. We also have a lot of talk about underlying conditions. You know, a little emergence of inflation and some worries about government policies and what's happening broadly with the economy. Throughout all of the pandemic, we've had this disconnect between the economy and the market. The market has driven the story till now. Is the real rotation here that the economy is about to drive the story? Or is it that we're going to see the economy and the market sync up? What is the story that we're supposed to be taking out? Is it the message of one, the other, or both?
That's a great question. And I would say that I think it's the confluence of the two. And so you say, what is it and how? And it reminds me of the Just So stories from Rudyard Kipling, which he wrote back beginning of the last century.
My
he
favorite.
About how did the, exactly. And how did the camel get its hump? How did the leopard get its spots? I think everyone wants a really simple story to explain how we are, where we are. The reality is that it's a confluence of all these factors. So it's the economy is improving. Vaccine rates are going up. We're seeing at least a slowdown in terms of hospitalizations in the United States, despite what we're seeing in Europe. And with this reflation trade, people are starting to really move more into the cyclical sectors, things like energy and financials and industrials, with the belief, to your earlier question, that it is the syncing up of the economy and the markets. What we also know is it's going to be a wild ride. It's never as linear as we would like it. It's never as easy as we would like it. And we saw that last year.
But if the ride is changing, do we have as much ability to generate the kind of profits and the kind of gains that we had? Or, great, the ride itself is going to be wild, but the upside to it is going to be less. Is it kind of like, hey, we rode the big bump on the roller coaster, and now we're going to have the smaller ones until this plays out?
The reality is we're not going to see the excess returns that we saw last year when you have the S&P up over 18%. Even in the fourth quarter, we saw the S&P up over 12%. So we're not expecting that kind of improvement and that type of return coming out of stocks specifically. But we do think that stocks can do well through the reflation trade. So it's getting more back to long-term trend of returns, high single digits, with the ability to show improved earnings. And yes, there will be some inflation, what we've seen with commodities, with pricing on rents and wages getting back up, but not the type of spectacular return that we saw last year coming out of the downturn last March. So we think it'll get better. We think stocks still have room to run, but not to the level that we've seen over the last year, let's say.
Those are calmer expectations, but a couple of new factors. I mean, you mentioned inflation as one. There have been a lot of different opinions on this show from experts talking about when do they factor inflation in. I mean, you know it's there. You want to kind of keep it in the back of your mind, but at what point do you bring it more to the front of your mind? How is inflation starting to factor in? And is it more inflation or is it the prospect of rising interest rates that you'd be reacting to right now?
What's interesting about that, Chuck, is that I think it's the rising interest rate component and the cost of capital. And the market, the bond market and interest rate structure right now would tell you that it's already experiencing it and seeing it and planning for it. While the Federal Reserve has a different view of the world and given the factors they are looking at are saying that it's not actually starting to perk up. And so our view is that if you continue to see rates rising and you see commodity prices going up, rents going up and wages going up, you're going to start to experience the impact of inflation. And we're almost in the not too hot, not too cold Goldilocks scenario right now, because even though rates have risen, you're still looking at a 10-year yield that is well below the long-term average. So it's not as though we're getting back to a 4% or a 5% 10-year yield that's really impactful. Nevertheless, though, as it moves up, you start to get questions about what kind of multiple can higher rates support in the equity markets. And then the continued pain, which we haven't really talked about, in the bond markets and the fixed income markets that have been getting hit on a year-to-date basis after a phenomenal 2020.
Well, let's talk about the pain in the bond markets, because if you're looking to generate some measure of yield, well, it's potentially hard to come by given, you know, what's been the rate situation we've been in. You've got some optimism in terms of, well, rates are going up, that would help you, but you've also got a little bit of concern about going up the risk scale to get more yield, because we still have some questionable, you know, how did companies get through the pandemic and what's going to happen to their bonds, and is junk going to become junky again? So the bond picture for you, I mean, what's the fallout there?
We don't see it getting a whole lot better. And I think you hit on the key component, which is how do you generate income? And so if you think about bond yields, yes, they're going up a little bit, but on an absolute basis, they're still low compared to history. And then couple that with a low dividend yield rate. So the S&P is approximately 1.5% dividend yield right now. And even those sectors that historically have generated higher yields for investors, things like financials, things like utilities, even energy, they're still well below their long-term dividend yield averages. And so if you're an average investor trying to find yield and income that doesn't come with a lot of risk and downside is hard right now. If you invest more in bonds, you have the risk of continued rising rates, which is going to hurt your bond portfolio as it has year to date. And then on the equity side of the house, if you put too much money into risk, you have a real challenge if we see any sort of sell-off in the equity markets, even if it's short-lived. For so many investors, that initial pain is really hard, and in many cases, it causes them to make bad choices.
So is there an ideal balance for you at this point, given these conditions? There's a lot of talk about the 60-40 portfolio being dead. Is it dead to you?
It's not dead to us, because we think it's a long-term process. We are long-term investors, and we would say that, yes, you will get a little bit of the pain right now in the short run as yields restabilize. And for those who are looking to try to generate income in a very short manner, it's more problematic. But over the longer term, we will get back to more normalized rate structures. And when you think about it from a yield perspective, if you can generate in the 2 to 4% range for most investors on a bond portfolio without taking undue duration risk or credit risk, that meets many of your needs. And so that's why so often we have to talk with clients about how much risk do you want to take to achieve these goals? How much income do you actually need versus how much do you want? And then from an equity perspective, can you live with some of the volatility that's associated with your equity portfolio? And, you know, the old adage from Howard Marks that being too early is indistinguishable from being wrong. You know, you don't want to be too early on this in terms of trying to reinvest more into bonds, but we will get up to that more stabilized rate structure.
So what that means is that 60-40 still works for you, but you're adjusting what goes into it, and maybe you're a little bit off of that right now. Let's talk about where the 70 or the 60 is going, depending on where that number would come up on the equities. Are you looking to change not necessarily what you're investing in, but maybe where you're invested, right, given the global markets now?
Well, it's one of the things we've seen over the last couple of months. One, we've been overweight large cap domestic, and we feel like that's the right place to be because we felt like they had the most stability coming out of the downturn last year, coupled with that the earnings power coming out of that on a multinational basis was going to be powerful and be a real nice tailwind for large cap domestic stocks. But with that, you see the components of what's working changing, and that's where we've been modifying or rebalancing a bit. When you think between value and growth, growth outperformed value by a long shot over the last 3 years going into the election. Since the election, we've seen this resurgence in value sectors, so things like financials and energy and industrials, at the expense really of growth sectors like information technology and consumer discretionary. And it's really been this rotation that we started applying last year, at the end of last year, and getting more into those sectors which we thought could reflate, and pulling back a little bit from some of our growth exposure because we felt like growth wasn't going to necessarily be negative from a return perspective, but it wasn't going to keep up with the value trade as long as reflation occurred. And, you know, the big caveat that we continue to see vaccine rates go up, that we see hospitalizations stay low, and that the United States at least reopens. So those are key and important parts of it. But with that in place, it's actually come to fruition when you look at how values performed this year in those sectors.
How much do you worry that all the fundamentals are going to be a bit messed up? I mean, we're going to see massive economic growth because we have to see massive economic growth year over year. Last year, everything was being shut down. Everything went to a full stop. We're going to see massive economic growth now. And then later, we're going to see that growth slow. And it's not necessarily going to be bad. It's just going to look bad when you compare it to the massive economic growth that we're seeing in 2021. How much does that make it hard for you to trust the numbers and believe what your eyes are seeing versus what the numbers are telling you?
We have far less confidence in the numbers now because we think that a lot of it has been juiced, if you will, from the support. And we always use the term support rather than stimulus because the money that was spent on a fiscal basis and the monetary policy that was enacted was really about supporting the U.S. economy and really on a global scale. But when you think about how much support was added to the framework, and yet growth is still not as high as you would hope. So you'd really think that you'd be generating even more growth right now, given where we are. And so the big question for us is, are we ever going to get back to higher levels of growth? And what does it require to get to those higher levels of growth? And what can we really do to achieve that? So short run, we are still positive on risk assets. But over the next 12 to 36 months, you start to say, gosh, how are we going to be able to deliver on the growth expectations and maintain the multiples that we have? So that's the big head scratcher for us. And at a certain point, you're pushing on a string if you just keep throwing stimulus and support at the problem without the underlying economy growing.
Alan, I wish I had more time because I've got more questions, and that last answer led me to a couple, but unfortunately, we have come to the end of our time. But it's always great to chat with you. Please stay safe. Come back and do this with us again a couple months from now.
Thanks so much for having me, Chuck. Love to be here.
That's Alan McKnight, Chief Investment Officer at Regions Asset Management. Online at regions.com, on Twitter at Regions News. Up next, the one and only Michael Falk will be here. Stick around. This is Money Life.